Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Good morning and you're very welcome to the programme. Today, shock and outrage over Donald Trump's plan for Gaza. We'll have reaction in just a moment. The Dáil is back today. Does the fiery row over speaking rights point to a fractious term ahead? If it's just too expensive to put our electricity cables underground, how do we make our supply resilient in the face of ever stronger storms? Our reporter Maura Fay finds out who can access the drug that has been described as the King Kong of weight loss, and is Ireland opening the door to more data centres, and what are the implications if we do? We debate. You can WhatsApp us this morning. It's 0870 32 32 32. Our text number is 51551, and the email address, if you'd like to get in touch that way, is todaycb@rte.ie. So it was a truly jaw-dropping moment standing alongside the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The US President Donald Trump proposed that America would take over the Gaza Strip, relocate its Palestinian residents to unspecified neighbouring countries, level Gaza to the ground, and rebuild it as what he called the Riviera of the Middle East. Well, responding later, the sole Palestinian-American member of the US Congress, Democrat Rashida Tlaib, said this president is openly calling for ethnic cleansing. In a moment, we'll hear from Middle East Bureau Chief with the LA Times, Nabi Bulo. But first, I'm joined by the defence editor with The Economist, Shashank Joshi. Shashank, good morning.
Good morning.
So the Turkish foreign minister has said this morning that this proposal from Donald Trump is unacceptable, out of the equation, and will lead to more violence. What's your own view?
Well, it's highly unrealistic. It is at odds with his own administration's commitment to do less in the Middle East in order to prioritize the challenge posed by China. It will provoke, obviously, outrage among Palestinians, bewilderment even among many Israelis, but most importantly of all, perhaps, deep concern among America's allies in the Gulf, including Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. And those two countries really are expected to provide some funding for the reconstruction of Gaza. They're not going to do that if America is ethnically cleansing the territory, as Trump has suggested. And moreover, America wants those countries to sign a normalization agreement, in Saudi Arabia's case, with Israel. It will not do that in a situation where Palestinians are being thrown out of their long-term home in a way that is completely contrary to international law.
Should we take this proposal seriously?
We're at the point where it is impossible for us to say with any confidence whether any one of Trump's proposals, whether that's the annexation of Canada, whether it's the reoccupation of the Panama Canal, the seizure of Greenland, the occupation of Gaza, is serious. We just can't. We don't know what's in his head. We don't know how far he's willing to go. But my instinct is to say that these are negotiating tactics. These are forms of bluster. He likes using a sort of extreme rhetoric, extreme threats, including that of tariffs that we saw last week. But he does back down very often. He's backed down against Canada and Mexico, making concessions. And I think all in all, if you're asking me, do we think that America is going to be occupying Gaza in a year or two? I think the answer is very likely not.
Mm-hmm. But we do have evidence from about a year ago when Donald Trump's son-in-law mentioned this proposal, Jared Kushner, talking about the Riviera, the potential value of properties on the coast in Gaza. So this, it would seem, has been in their minds for some time. And welcome this morning by Ben-Gvir, the Israeli foreign minister, even though it was notable last night that Benjamin Netanyahu didn't explicitly back the plan at that press conference.
No, because of course, even in his own government, there are extremists who want to ethnically cleanse Gaza, and he himself has been cautious about endorsing that. He knows that that still doesn't enjoy majority support even within Israel, and it would obviously be it would cause widespread outrage around the world, causing huge problems for Israel's diplomacy. As for the real estate angle, yes, Kushner has suggested this, but I think in the past it's been more of a concept of real estate development. You know, the idea that America would invest in property, help cause an economic boom. And of course, this is not surprising given that Trump's background is in real estate. That's how he thinks of the world in terms of buying and selling properties, not in terms of sovereignty and human rights and all these other sort of lofty concepts in his eyes. However, I think the idea of the US administering Gaza, taking it over, is quite extraordinary and very new. But I think I emphasize again, it will really trouble the many people inside his Pentagon, inside his administration, who think America needs to get out of the Middle East after 20 years of war in Iraq and Afghanistan, rather than build another, you know, build another territory there. This they will see as the way to kind of being bogged down and having fewer resources to focus on countering China.
There was an interesting suggestion from the Democratic Senator Chris Murphy, who feels that this is a distraction, that he will have succeeded in distracting everyone from the real story, the billionaire seizing government to steal from regular people.
Well, I think it's not incumbent on senators to tell us what is and is not the real story. I think a president calling for the ethnic cleansing of a territory in the Middle East is absolutely newsworthy, and we must cover it and discuss it, as you know, both of you and I are news professionals. However, it is also true that the administration in its early days is making a very large number of quite radical moves across the board in foreign policy and domestic policy. And the executive branch in America, the administrative state, is being transformed by Elon Musk. People are being fired. Agencies like the FBI and CIA are being purged. Data is being removed from sensitive government servers. These are incredibly important stories. But I think with Donald Trump, given his proclivities, given his you know, his attitude towards provocative announcements, we must learn over the coming years to be able to discuss multiple stories at once, to be able to walk and chew gum, as they say.
Does it leave the ceasefire in a more precarious position this morning?
Well, it would, of course, because the ceasefire calls for a number of specific things. It calls for, you know, Palestinians being allowed to return to the north of Gaza, as they have been doing in recent days. It calls for the reconstruction of Gaza once a full-scale deal, if and when a full-scale deal is signed to end the conflict completely. The ceasefire, you know, does not call for the ethnic cleansing of Gaza. And if it did, Hamas and would never have agreed to it. Palestinians would never have endorsed it. I'm sure even many Israelis would have had their serious qualms about this. And so all in all, yes, I think it'll cause play havoc with diplomatic efforts. And I will only note here that Stephen Witkoff, Trump's envoy, when he's been speaking in recent days, has not so explicitly endorsed this idea. He's just said, look, it's unrealistic. Palestinians can go back in a few years. Reconstruction is going to take a lot longer than that.
Shashank, thank you very much for your time this morning. That's Shashank Joshi.
Thank you so much.
And I'm also joined by the Middle East Bureau Chief with the LA Times, Nabi Boulo. Nabi, good morning to you and thank you for being with us. I see in the last few minutes that the Egyptian foreign minister is calling for the swift reconstruction of Gaza without the displacement of Palestinians. Egypt, of course, held up as a country that could play host to Palestinians, according to Donald Trump. What has been the Palestinian reaction to this suggestion?
Can imagine it's been rejection across the board. I mean, the fact is you already have actually several Hamas officials issuing statements this morning and the group itself saying that they reject this, you know, really wholesale at this point, that any attempt to do so basically ignores Palestinian rights. And of course, I mean, they are correct. It's clear that as Shashank said, that this is basically I mean, a real estate mogul's idea of a solution for Gaza. And as you can imagine, people here, I mean, whether it's Hamas or the Palestinian Authority or really other Arab governments, they've all said no, that they reject this idea.
And the wider Arab world, again, Shashank referred to that and how this might have a destabilizing influence, because Donald Trump's first administration had a relatively close relationship with Saudi Arabia, amongst others. So what do you think the impact of this proposal will have on that?
Well, Saudi Arabia has already gone out and rejected the idea wholesale and said that it would also torpedo any chance for normalization. It's interesting here that Saudi Arabia has actually conditioned its normalization agreement with Israel on a real and viable path towards Palestinian statehood, which is not like the Abraham Accords that had ignored that condition. And at the same time, I mean, it's worth noting that this is actually existential for both Egypt and Jordan, or at least for their governments, I mean, as we know them right now. I mean, the fact is, the Egyptian president, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, is already facing issues with his legitimacy, right? I mean, not only for his economic policies, but also for various territorial issues. And for Jordan, which already has a large refugee population from the Palestinian community, I mean, as you can imagine, this is actually nothing less than existential for Jordan, because taking on more refugees would be a problem. And at the same time, it's often railed against the idea of being seen as an alternative homeland for Palestinians. It should also be said, Jordan has a longstanding defense cooperation agreement with the U.S. that is essential for U.S. security in the region and its plans for the region, I should say. And it's worth noting that Jordan actually was an integral part of the security, the security network that was able to thwart the Iranian ballistic missile attack on Israel. So for all those reasons, I mean, Jordan is not without options. And the fact is that as people sort of take in the idea of what Donald Trump wants to do, they have been considering taking more extreme measures, including canceling the defense pact and perhaps even going to war. I mean, I just want to emphasize the point. This is a really existential question for Jordan, even though it relies on U.S. largesse for its existence as well.
And on the existing ceasefire deal, I asked Shashank whether it puts it in an even more precarious position. What's your own view on that?
Well, I think it's clear that right now there is little view or there's little need, at least for the Israelis, to negotiate. I mean, they see someone who is with them. It seems to be all the way at this point. And so for them, I'm sure that would reduce the motivation for a ceasefire to continue. Now, for Hamas, of course, I mean, it's still interested in continuing the ceasefire. It hasn't said anything about pulling out of the deal, at least not yet. But I'm sure that if they intend to push through with this, if Trump et al. Intend to, you know, push through with this, then that would change the conversation.
Mm-hmm. And that theory, the Democratic senator telling us this is a distraction. You'll all be talking about this when the real story is the power grab that's happening on US soil. Now, Shashank was at pains to say that we should be capable of thinking about two things at once. What's your own view on that and how seriously you take this proposal?
Matter is that there are always two components to Trump's policies, right? There's domestic and there's international. And it's fair to say that his international stuff has taken more attention as of late, but that's because it is so utterly outrageous and unprecedented. I mean, we're talking about Greenland and the Panama Canal and now the idea of Gaza. I mean, this is a president who campaigned on the notion of not embroiling the U.S. in international foreign adventures. And yet here we are already, you know, in the first few weeks of his presidency, we're in the situation. So it's fair to say that we should be paying attention to it, right? Now, whether that means that we can be we should also be distracted from what he's doing on the domestic front, I mean, that's a separate matter. And of course, I mean, as Shashank said, we can do two things at the same time. But it's clear that we are facing an unprecedented situation when it comes to U.S. policies in the Middle East. I mean, that is certainly worth covering.
Mm-hmm. We've seen international leaders, though, take the softly, softly approach with Donald Trump since his inauguration. How do you expect Arab leaders will respond to this, Nabi? I mean, do you think that they will openly denounce him and risk his ire?
Well, it's fair to say that we've already seen the Trump administration take a more, I guess, logical approach when it comes to negotiations, right? I mean, they start off with these maximum positions, and then they cut back down to a more moderate and perhaps more modest endpoint. So there is this expectation, or at least thought, that maybe this is what we're seeing here. But at the same time, I mean, it is somewhat more serious for these countries. We're not talking about a trade war or things like that. We're talking about an existential situation for both Jordan and Egypt, right? They cannot take it as easily as other countries, perhaps. And at the same time, for Saudi Arabia, yes, they can perhaps take a softly, softly approach within reason. I mean, they also realize that they would face a massive loss of legitimacy if they just agreed to Trump's plans without any kind of pushback. So, I mean, there are big issues at play here, mm-hmm. and they have to tread carefully with their own people.
Nabi, thank you for joining us. I see in the last few minutes the French have become the latest to react to this in a formal way. The French foreign ministry saying forced displacement of Gazan population would be a serious violation of international law, and we'll bring you more on that developing story as we go through the morning. Up next, though, the Dáil returns today after a rocky start for the new government. What lies ahead for this coming term?
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.